Let me just sincerely thank everyone again for everything that you've done to bring this conference about, this meeting. It's been a great honor. I feel like it's an undeserved honor and privilege, and thank you, everyone, that has done all that you've done. I understand something about what it takes to put these together, especially your pastor and his wife. And sometimes, you know, preaching is difficult, but presiding and overseeing these things is, at any rate, I thank you. And from everyone to everyone that played the hymns skillfully, thank you. I enjoyed that so much. The special music, the singing. Thank you, David. I love that song. And the food that's prepared. And just thank you, thank you, thank you. I often, if I go somewhere I haven't been very many times and people have heard that Mahan's going to preach, I apologize if you're expecting a different Mahan. Charles Spurgeon's grandfather was a preacher, pastor of a church for 50 years. And Spurgeon was, his grandson was to preach for him one time in his church. And he was late getting there, so his grandfather, James Spurgeon, started preaching from a text, and in walked Charles, late. And James Spurgeon, his grandfather, said, "Well, there's my grandson." He said, "He may be a better preacher than me, but he doesn't have a better message." And I say the same thing. My father may be a better preacher, but he doesn't have a better gospel than I do. And you know that Spurgeon Charles got up and started preaching from the very text that James did. Because we have the same message, don't we? One message. Thank you, Pastor, for that word this morning from Psalm 23. And no, I have not heard those names preached from that. That was wonderful. Whenever it's about Christ, that's his name, and wonderful, wonderful. That was good. That's a blessing. And you're blessed. I was so blessed to have not only a faithful preacher, but a good one. A lot of bad preachers out there. But you got a good one, a faithful one. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. Go with me to the book of Revelation. As announced, we looked at something that Isaiah said of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then what Christ said of him. And here in the very last book of God's Word is what God the Father gave to say of his Son. Read with me verses 1 through 3. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel, his messenger, unto his servant John. John, who bare record of the word of God, of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they, blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy, and blessed are they that keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." You may not realize it. Some do, but most don't. How blessed we are to be here today. How blessed you are to read this word, to have a copy of this word. You know how many people laid down their lives that we might have a copy of God's Word? How blessed we are to read God's Word. Doubly blessed to read it and hear it preached. Like the people in Nehemiah that we read last night. Said they rejoiced and made great mirth because they understood the words that were read. The men stood up and gave the sense of the reading. They gave the meaning. They declared it. How blessed we are, aren't we? Amen. That we hear it, read and hear it preached. How blessed we are. And then he says, oh, how blessed we are if we keep it. That means lay hold of it. Embrace it. Hebrews 11 speaks of those that embraced the truth as something that was their life. Embraced the words of life. You know, many come and many go. Many read the scriptures and it's nothing to them. Many come and hear it and it's nothing to them. They go away unmoved, uncaring, and don't come back. But some people, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, lay hold by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. His word, his truth is life to them. Not just a church servant, but life. Many heard the greatest. Charles Spurgeon wasn't the prince of preachers. Jesus Christ was. And many heard him preach. And they said, these are hard sayings. And they went away. We can't hear this. He turned to his disciples, whom he had chosen. And he asked them, will you also go away? And Simon said, on our behalf, didn't he? He said, to whom? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. We hang our souls on what you say.
Amen.
And so it is with all of God's people. This gospel is life, isn't it? Christ is our life, his word. We must have his word like those sheep that feed upon those pastures. We feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The title of this message, the subject of this message, is A Blessed People, A Blessed Book from Our Blessed Lord. How blessed we are. It begins by saying this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? And how blessed you are, because I'm not saying anything new. I'm telling you what men for years have been saying and what your pastor has faithfully been teaching you. You know these things. Like Paul said, I believe it was the Thessalonians, seeing that you know these things. But I'm going to tell you again how blessed we are that we know this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was the translators that wrote the revelation of St. John the Divine. I believe the translators put that at the top of the page. This is not the revelation of John. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's his revelation to John that the angel or a messenger gave to John to preach to the people. This is the revelation, it's called, the revelation. Salvation is by revelation. We're not indoctrinated into the kingdom of God, not educated into the kingdom of God. We're born into the kingdom of God. Born by the incorruptible word of God. Begotten of God, and the way he does that is through the word. And the word is Jesus Christ. He is the word made flesh. He is the seed. He is the gospel. This is eternal life, he said, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent. All right, and the only way we may know God is if he reveals himself to us. You don't know me unless I communicate to you and reveal myself to you. Neither does any man know the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him.
Amen.
Isn't that what the Scripture said?
Amen.
We don't know the mind of God. We don't know the will of God. We don't know the purpose of God. We don't know the truth of God unless he reveals it to us. Paul said this, didn't he, in Galatians? He said, when it pleased God, when is a man or a woman saved? When is a young person saved? When they get good and ready? No, when it pleases God.
Amen.
Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son, not just to me, but in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The revelation of Jesus Christ. He must reveal himself to us. And the Lord said through Isaiah, he said, you have I chosen, speaking of his people, that you might know me, that I am he. Most people don't. Most people don't know who he is. Don't know why he came. Don't know what he did. Don't know who he did it for. Don't know where he is now. Don't know who he is. But you do. Some of you do, don't you? Why? God revealed himself to you.
Oh, my.
What a blessing. What a blessing. And it pleased God for the foolishness of preaching. He reveals himself through the preaching of the word. The Lord even sent an angel to John. John fell down at his feet to worship him, didn't he? Because he appreciated what he was so amazed with. Marveled at all that the angel was showing him. The messenger sent by God was showing him. And John fell at his feet to worship him. We're not to worship angels. This man's an angel. It just means messenger. That's all it means, messenger. Well, the angel said, don't worship me. I'm just a messenger. I'm of your brethren. Worship God. Worship God. But oh, we're so grateful, aren't we, for the angels that he sends us, the messengers. But we're not to worship the messenger. We're to worship the Lord himself. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave. I told you I was going to tell you what God has said about his son. Well, it's, the whole book is what God says about his son. Your parents have albums, don't you? Photo albums. Austin and Sarah has shown us 1,332 since we've been here. Why? You love her, don't you? You delight in her. So it is with the Father and his Son. Everything, it redounds to the glory of God's Son. That's why he created everything. This whole book is, as it were, the Old Testament is, as it were, a photo album. Pictures, types, symbols, shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at my Son. In Genesis, he's the light, he's the life. He's the woman's seed. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. He's the bread from heaven. He's the smitten rock. He's the water of life. You know these things, don't you? You've heard these things, haven't you? You know how few people have? So many people everyone that when the Lord begins to reveal himself to them, especially in the Old Testament types, when you see them for the first time, don't you just rejoice? A woman is in a Methodist, and they don't know anything. They don't even use a Bible. That's a fact. And she came, and she began to listen. She was invited by someone. She began to listen, and she didn't like what she was hearing at first. And she even said, I'm going to go home and prove him wrong. I said, good. And she got her Bible out and could not prove the truth wrong. But the Lord began to reveal himself to her through the types and the shadows, and she heard messages like Noah's Ark for the first time, that ark is Jesus Christ. Oh, Daniel, she just rejoiced. Oh, she's just beside herself. She said, I never knew. Like a man recently told my son-in-law, who's a pastor in Tennessee, and he'd been sitting under the word for a long time, he said, and with big tears in his eyes, he said, I never knew that this Bible was about Jesus Christ. The whole Bible. Now I do. Now I do. In Leviticus, he's the great atonement. In Numbers, he's the brazen serpent. And as I said, like Moses, Christ said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the gospel, John 3:14. And the preacher is only so good like that pole that Moses lifted up the serpent. He's no good. He's dead wood, as it were, if he's not lifting up and declaring Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. God demands it. Sinners need it. He's the message in them. One look at him and you live. God will give you all. He's the message of this book, the revelation of Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy, he's the city of refuge. In Joshua, he's Joshua. Scarlet Lion. Oh, I could go on and on with all of those. And you have. You've seen them, I know, from your pastor. But verse 2 says here that John bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Two things. God gave to him the word and the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John said, I testified of all things that I saw. He saw, John. He testified, the faithful witness, to testify of all things that he saw. What did he testify of? Well, look quickly at Revelation 19 with me. Most people think that this book is just an apocalyptic book of future events and the end times and so forth, don't they? They do. Most people think that. But it begins by telling us this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is another gospel book, isn't it? He wrote 66 books, and he didn't write, and it all tells of Christ, but he didn't write 65 books on one subject and change the subject. This is the last chapter. This is the crowning chapter of it all, isn't it? Look at Revelation 19. And no doubt there are prophecies in this book. But look at verse 10. He said, I fell at the feet of the angel to worship him, and he said it unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony, the gospel of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. To him give all the prophets witness. And John is testifying the same one, isn't he? Hasn't changed. The message is the same. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you know what the first words in this Bible are? Go back to Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. I am Alpha. This is Christ speaking. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. You see that? What are the first words in the Bible? In the beginning. Christ said, I'm the beginning. All right, what are the last words in the Bible? It's Revelation 22:22. You say, no, there's only 21 verses. No, there's 22. The last two words are the end. The end. He said, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. He is the book. He is the word. It's all about him. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That John said God gave this to his angel. And who that angel is unimportant. Who the messenger is unimportant. He's unimportant, but his message is life or death. To show, go to the verse 1, to show unto his servants, as said, God's people are chosen. God's people are elect in Christ, and God shows unto them all things as they're in Christ. And it says here in verse 1, things which must shortly come to pass. All things are written, and they must come to pass. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one word of mine shall fail. The scripture says that everything that is written concerning Christ must come to pass. Didn't Christ say that when he preached to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus? It says, beginning at the books of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, he expounded unto them things concerning himself. That's the whole Old Testament. And then he said, he revealed himself to them, and he told them, these are things that I've told you before. Things that must come to pass. Everything written concerning me must be fulfilled. And they have been, they are now, and they shall be in the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave his word to give to his elect the testimony of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things testify of him. Look at verse 2. John said, I saw all things. I testify of all things that I saw. What did John see? Well, he saw many visions, and they're written throughout the Revelation. But I tell you what he said in his epistle. He said in his epistle, he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled. What, John? The word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter one time said to the Pharisees, he said, we can't help but speak the things we've seen and heard. What did he speak? Jesus Christ. Why don't men preach Christ? They haven't heard from him. They haven't seen him. Well, we can't help but speak the things we've seen and we've heard. John said this in his gospel. He said, we beheld his glory. We saw him. We heard him. We beheld his glory. And so we speak of him. And John said, all things that I saw, all things. John said, I saw all things. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, they that are spiritual discerneth all things, understand all things. I can tell you right now, all the purpose, all the mind, all the will of God in three words. Right now, I can sum it up. All of the mind and will, the word, the purpose of God, eternity, salvation, everything, eternal destiny, I can tell you in three words, very quickly, all of that, all the counsel of God, three words. Christ is all. Christ is all. Is that too simple? It's so simple that wise people can't understand it. The Pharisees can't understand it. You do, don't you? You do. Christ is all the purpose of God. The purpose of God. That's what Ephesians, you love Ephesians, don't you? Turn there to Ephesians 1. It says he's all the purpose of God. Look at it, Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10. You have it? Now, if I begin to talk fast, I'm sorry. I got a lot to say and not enough time. One time, Brother David was preaching with Donnie Bell. You've heard Brother Donnie, and he gets to talking kind of fast. David preached after Donnie preached, and David said, well, you know how slow he talked. He said, we have the same gospel. He said, but Donnie just tells it faster than I do. So I'm just going to tell it faster. And I got a plane to catch. But look at it, Ephesians 1, verse 9 and 10. I shouldn't have said that. That's flesh. That's all flesh. Forget that. But verse 9, God, Christ is all the purpose of God, the will of God. Verse 9, he's made known, you see, revealed unto us. Who's that? The blessed of God, the chosen of God. The mystery of his will. It's a mystery to most. What's a mystery? Christ. According to the good pleasure of his will, he's made known unto us that which he purposed in himself. What is it, Paul? That in a dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, in heaven and on earth. It's in him. I can sum up salvation in two words. In him. It's to be found in him. By him. Done by him. Creation. All things. Are in Christ. Creation, the creation of God. Colossians says this. You know these scriptures. Oh, how wonderful they are and how blessed we are to know them. By him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. All of creation was created by him and for his glory. Psalm 19 says that God, the heavens declare his glory, and in it, in the heavens, is set a tabernacle for what? The Son. That is, God the Father said, let's make a vast expanse that we might put this big sun in the sky that in which we live and move and have our being. Without it, we'd all die. This is a representation of the Son of God, who is life, who is light. That's why he made this place. That's why he made the plant, everything. It all redounds to his glory. The sun, the trees clap their hands, the scripture said, to the Son of God. The birds sing his praises. The clouds are the dust of his feet. All things created by him and for his glory. All creation.
sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says, all fullness, all the fullness of God, it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. All the fullness of God, the essence of God, the character of God, the power of God, the glory of God. Yes, Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead in a man. Isn't that amazing? In a Godhead bodily. He's the express image. God said of man in the beginning, let us make man in our image. Image of God, God's a spirit. He has an image, and it's Jesus Christ. He's very God of very God, though a man. That's a mystery. Explain that, preacher. I can't, but we believe it, don't we? All the fullness of God, all the love, all the mercy, all the grace, all the salvation, all the promises of God. God made precious promises, exceeding great and precious promises. And they're all in Christ. And they're all yea and amen to the glory of God by us. When God says, believe on the Son and you'll have everlasting life. That's a promise. And you can believe God. He cannot lie. When God says, look to my Son. When God says, I'll receive all that come unto me by him. That's a promise of God, and he can't lie. They're all in Christ. Look to Christ. Go to him. Believe him. Trust him. Cast all your care on him, and you'll be eternally saved. That's a promise of God. All the promises of God are yes, yay, yay. That's the way it's written in it. Yay. When do you say yay? Last night, Austin, because his team beat my team from Kentucky, he was saying, yay! Well, all the promises of God are in him are yay! Boy, a sinner ought to be shout for gratitude and glory, shouldn't he? Yay! Yay, our God is merciful. Yay! Yay and amen. That amen, don't you love that word? I love to hear it. I love to say it. I love to hear people saying it. Let the amen sound from his people again. You know what that means? So be it. That's the way it is. Yay and amen. All the wisdom of God. In him dwelleth all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Aren't they? All the wisdom of God. People, if Christ is all the wisdom of God, all the knowledge of God, whatever people may know, if they don't know him, they don't know anything at all. That's right. Do you hear me? That's what God said. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. If they don't know God, the fool has said there's no God. The fool has said that's just a man named Jesus, and we can take or leave anything he said. No, you can't. What he said are the words of God. You can't take it or leave it. Amen. Can't be indifferent to it. Must bow to what he said. You must believe what he said. Or everlastingly perish. That's what he said. If you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. That's what he said. Amen. Can't take this or leave it. Every knee will bow. I'm so sick of these athletes today protesting the American flag. I'm sick of it. You know what that red stands for on that flag? Blood. My brother laid down his life for the freedom of this country. That's what that red stands for. And what they're doing is dishonoring my brother. They don't have a right, really. The very blood he shed ensured the freedom for them to protest. But you're not protesting against the government. You're dishonoring those that laid their lives down. You understand me? Consider the divine irony here. Irony of God. That they tell people to stand during the Pledge of Allegiance or whatever, and they won't, they refuse, and they'll bow their knee. And God says, bow the knee to my Son. And men refuse, and they stand.
Well, Glenn, I'm here to tell you that God says every knee will bow. And every tongue confess. Confess him. Ain't going to do it. Not interested. Well, you will. You will. Why? He shed his blood. To this end, Christ both lived and died and rose again that he might be Lord. He's everyone's Lord. You don't make him Lord. God made him your Lord. And he can do with us what he pleases. And here is the fear of the Lord. Here is salvation. When God reveals to himself, his son, to you, himself, his son, Lord of the universe, and you see him and you fear him and you bow at his feet, Brother Jim, and you call on him for mercy. When God makes you willing to bow your knee, that's salvation. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess unwillingly. Made to do so, but God in mercy and love and grace reveals his blessed son to some now. Amen. And they willingly, by the grace of God, bow their knee. Yes, I'll bow my knee to the Son of God. He's worthy. Why? His blood. The flag we fly is the flag of his blood and the banner that Christ shed his blood. It's all the... Oh, the wisdom of God. If Christ is all, everyone else is nothing at all. Oh, human beings think there's something. Billions of worms. I bought a bunch of worms one time. I paid good money for a bunch of worms. 2,000 red wiggler worms. You say, are you a fool? Well, I bought them. I heard they were good for the garden and all that. Have you ever seen 2,000 worms? It's despicable. I got them out of this sack and got them out. And they were just writhing and wriggling all over. Just a ball of worms. And you know what worms love? Dirt. They hate light. Eat dead things. That's man. If we could look on mankind as God sees it, that's the way we would see it. Writhing, wriggling worms. But God chooses some worms. I got to tell a little bit more of this. Good illustration. But I got those. I paid good money for worms. Why would you do that? They're everywhere. Why would you pay money for worms? Well, I did for my use, for my garden to bear fruit. Oh, the price that God paid for worms, his son. Why? That they might bear fruit to his glory. Well, I made him a house. I made him a house. I made him a dwelling place, you know. I fed him, Austin. The first night, I got up in the middle of the night to go check on him. Brother, it may be funny, but Psalm 2 says, what is man? Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him or would visit him? What is he? A worm. And Psalm 22 says Christ became a worm. Amen. Behold, what manner of love, what grace, what mercy, what glory. If Christ is all, everyone else is nothing at all. If you ever see him, who he is, you'll think of yourself as nothing. Nothing. And whatever you have done, whatever you have accomplished, he gave it to you. What do we have not received? And if we've received it, why? How should we glory as if we had not received it? That's why pride is the most odious and detestable thing of all to God. God has determined it, Scripture says, Isaiah, to destroy the pride of man. Why? Because everything man has, he gave it to him. And what does he require of us? Thanks. Praise. If Christ is all the treasures, if we don't have Christ, we don't have anything at all, do we? We have vanity. We have nothing. Dead things like worms. If Christ is all, if he's life, if we don't have the Son, we don't have life. He's all the wisdom of God, knowledge of God. You ever thought about this?
in God's providence, amazing providence, he has men do this and that and the other. Like the sun in the English language, it's no coincidence that one of the, if not the most widely spoken language on earth, calls that the thing that sustains life the sun. That's the Son of God, isn't it? God said, I want every tongue is going to be forced to say that, the Son. But somewhere, at some time, someone designated the owl as wise, didn't it? Call it the wise owl, the wise old owl. I don't know. I guess at nighttime he can see everything. He's got big eyes and he doesn't say much. But I'll tell you why. I'll tell you, God had that, had men do that. Why? Because he's wise, because if you ask him any question, he'll give one answer. What's the meaning of life, Mr. Owl? Who? Not what. Who? What is truth? Who? What about salvation? What can I do to be saved? Who? Am I being too simple? He is a wise person, wise unto salvation, that knows that everything, all things are in Christ. It's not what? It's not what I must do, not what I must know. It's who. Amen. Who must do for me? Who must know me? Who must save me? Salvation is in Christ. All things. Christ is all. Look at this, back in our text, Revelation 1. I'll close. It says in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things. Do you know what all people are hearing today in so-called churches all over the land? Oh, my. Some of you are part of all that. Is it not a blessing to come? They hear the words and lay hold of it. The time is at hand. That's what he said. It was Baxter, I believe, that said, I preach as one that may never preach again. As a dying man to dying men. Now, that's a fact. I've preached several messages to people that were the last message they ever heard. Well, that makes this... Whew. Oh, boy. And it's even doubly more responsible for the preacher. What's going to be the last message that I bring? What do I tell people? My parting word. Huh? Christ is all. The time is at hand. All of our times are at hand. Do you hear me? That's what he said. That's not what I said. The time is at hand. Our time. David wrote, my times are in thy hands. And we sing that song, oh, my God, I wish them there. I'm glad they're there. In our time, as your pastor said a moment ago, death is not the end for God's people, it's the beginning. Death is a passing over to the other side. Death is entrance into eternal glory. How do we know that there's life after death? Who? How do we know this is true? How do we know that death is not the end? Because Christ died. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died. Sin, the wages of sin is death, but Christ bore that penalty, as he said. Christ bore that price for his people. Not all people, but his people. And whoever Christ died for, there is no judgment, there is no condemnation, there's no hell to face, only eternal life and happiness and joy and peace with God the Father. Because Christ died. He shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Christ shed his blood. It's a payment in full for all the sins of all of God's people. God is satisfied. He accepts that sacrifice, fully accepts it on behalf of his people. And Christ died to show us, to tell us that it's not the end, it's just the beginning. He went into the grave. They saw him. And those 3 days he was gone were the worst days of their life. The most sorrowful days of their life, weren't they? They thought everything was over. I'm sure none of them slept at all. And they wept till they could weep no more. You know they did. He was everything to them. He was their father. He was their husband. He was their friend. He was their provider. He was their captain. He was their protection. He was everything to them. But bless God, 3 days later, he came out. He said, I told you. And he said this blessed promise. You see, all the promises of God are fulfilled, and in him are yea and amen to the glory of God by us, and they're wonderful promises. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, if I do this work for you on Calvary's tree, if I die for you, you'll never die. I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's what he's saying. I'm coming for you. If you promised your daughter that, and she's waiting on you, and you had the power to do it, would you do it? Hell or high water couldn't keep you from it. And Christ said, our time is at hand. He takes one at a time. We don't want him to, but he does. They're his. He gave them to us, and he takes what belonged to him. But he's coming for us soon. Our time is short. Time is at hand. That's why I said redeem the time. What we're doing right now is redeeming the time. Buying the truth as it is in Christ. He that knows Christ has life. He'll never die. Oh, if he'd just peel back this veil of tears and veil of flesh, we'd see glory. Spurgeon said, we fear that thing which is the best thing is going to happen to us. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through Christ our Lord. Christ came back, Glenn, and he said, nothing to fear, everything to look forward to. Your time's at hand. My times. Our days are numbered. Our months are with the Lord. They're determined. And for the loaves we love, they're not when we would want them, but they're when God says them. Amen. When God purposed them, and he takes them, but we're right behind them. If you're in Christ, you're right behind them. It'll be like that. A moment, a twinkling of an eye. Brother Scott Richardson was no stranger to trial. Old coal miner, eighth grade education. He was raised in an attic room. Not unwanted by his parents, worked in the coal mines of West Virginia for years. God made a preacher out of him. Oh, what a preacher he was. And the wisdom the Lord gave that man, if you'd read an article by him, you'd think it's some scholar somewhere. But he's no stranger to trials and troubles, and he lost his first child, a girl. 3 years old. Some in here know something about that. And then his sons, a couple of them ended up breaking his heart. One ended up in prison. He lost his wife. Some of you know something about that. And he lost his health. He got cancer. He had two ostomies, colonoscopy and an ileostomy, two hanging from his side. And he said, if you knew what God knows, you would order your life exactly like he ordered it. You wouldn't change a thing. We don't have to know what God's doing, and we don't quite understand it, but he does. And it's all good for his people. Those that are in Christ, it's all good. For God worketh
together all things for good to them that love him, who are the called according to his purpose. And that purpose is all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is all. Look to him and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. May the Lord bless you and bless his word. Amen.
I want to